From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Eternal Security of the Saints, an exposition of Romans chapter 8. The opening words of the chapter set forth the believer's position. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's main proposition. From verses 2 through 4, we see that Christ has satisfied every claim of the law for his people and has gained for them a full and free justification. Here is the glory of the gospel, which Paul described in chapter 1 as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. Get thee up into the high mountain. Our knowledge of Christ is somewhat like climbing one of our Welsh mountains. When you are at the base, you see but little. The mountain itself appears to be but one half as high as it really is. Confined in a little valley, you discover scarcely anything but the rippling brooks as they descend into the stream at the foot of the mountain. Climb the first rising knoll, and the valley lengthens and widens beneath your feet. Go higher, and you see the country for 4 or 5 miles round, and you are delighted with the widening prospect. Mount still, and the scene enlarges, till at last, when you are on the summit and look east, west, north, and south, you see almost all England lying before you. Yonder is a forest in some distant county, perhaps 200 miles away, and here the sea. And there a shining river, and the smoking chimneys of a manufacturing town, or the masts of the ships in a busy port. All these things please and delight you, and you say, I could not have imagined that so much could be seen at this elevation. Now, the Christian life is of the same order. When we first believe in Christ, we see but little of him. The higher we climb, the more we discover of his beauties. But who has ever gained the summit? Who has known all the heights and depths of the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Paul, when grown old, sitting gray-haired, shivering in a dungeon in Rome, could say with greater emphasis than we can, I know whom I have believed. For each experience had been like the climbing of a hill, each trial had been like ascending another summit, and his death seemed like gaining the top of the mountain, from which he could see the whole of the faithfulness and the love of him to whom he had committed his soul. Get thee up, dear friend, into the high mountain.
Thank you.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
As I studied Romans 7, I came to the conclusion that what it's really dealing with, it's not the normal Christian life for Paul or for you or for me. We really should have something more than this. There should be some more victory in the Christian life than is described at the end of Romans, or the latter half of Romans 7. So what is he talking about? In the context, remember, Paul is showing that sanctification is not by the works of the law. And the agony of Romans 7 is the agony of a Christian who is trying to be holy by the works of the law. And that's always going to lead to failure. Now when you come into Romans chapter 8, you will find that Paul is describing in some detail the victorious joy of sanctification by the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the gospel of free grace and of justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ. So that's what Romans 8 is really all about. You'll notice that it starts with, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Therefore. Now obviously that joins it with something that goes before. The question is what? If you read Romans 7:25, you'll see why most commentators say that's not the context. Romans 24:25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Therefore there's no condemnation. There's no apparent logical connection. So most commentators will say, that's not the connection. They will say, you go back to chapter 5, where he's teaching justification. Lloyd-Jones, for example, took 6 and 7 as being parenthetical. So you go back to Romans 5, and it's, therefore, in the light of all that I have stated about justifying grace, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of truth in that. But yet I think that the main reference is back to what goes immediately before in Romans 7, and I'll tell you why. There is therefore now. The words, there are two little words translated therefore, and they simply mean then now or so now. The idea in them is that the conclusion of the whole matter is there's no condemnation. In other words, what Paul is saying, and this makes perfect sense, he says, I've shown you in Romans 7, justification is not by the law. I've shown you that sanctification is not by the law. Now let me bring it all together. The conclusion of the whole matter is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Justification is by grace in union with Christ. And then he adds, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Sanctification, not in the law, but it's in union with Christ as the result of your justification. That's what the chapter is all about. Once again, then, Paul gets back to his main theme. In many ways, he's picking up where he left off in chapter 5. There he was dealing with the assurance of salvation. Now he is dealing with the security of the saints in Christ. What a statement he starts with. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful statement that. Don't in any way read quickly over it. Don't in any way miss the full import of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is not hyperbole. It is not in any way an overstatement. This is not a hope for the future. This is not a prophecy of what will be on the day of judgment. This is a statement regarding the here and now. Here and now. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the statement. No guilt. Now let that sink in. No guilt before God for all your sins. Your past, and if you know anything of your heart, your past has been as black as the midnight darkness of hell. But there's no guilt. You look into your heart at the present and you find fault, and rightly so. But there's no guilt. And there's no punishment. You see why the apostle ran into such opposition to his doctrine? Do you understand now when I put it in such bold terms why many Judaizers in the early church and many people in the church today say that's dangerous doctrine to tell people there's no guilt? That'll free them up to live whatever way they like. You know what Paul would have said? I hope it does. I hope it does. Because if the way you like to live is filthy and godless and Christless and serving the devil and being as like the angels of darkness as you can be, you've never been justified. Because those who are justified walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the realm in which they live and serve. That's the place where their heart is. Now, here's a miracle. God is not blind. God cannot fail to know our past, our present failure. But do you see, He has put it under the blood. And He has granted us the covering of the righteous merits of Jesus Christ. And He says, there's no condemnation. I have no word of condemnation to pass upon a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the security that belongs to everyone who is in Christ Jesus. And to no one else, mind you, doesn't belong to those who are Baptists or Presbyterians, doesn't belong to those who have walked the aisle or made a profession merely. It doesn't belong to those who say, I read my Bible and have my devotions. I trust you do those things. It belongs to those who are in a real, vital union with Jesus Christ by faith in Him. And the mark of a man who is united to Christ is that he has been brought out of Adam and put into Christ. The old man has been crucified, to use the language that Paul has dealt with in chapter 6. The old man has been crucified so that now in Christ this believer walks not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now the big proposition that Paul is defending throughout this chapter then is quite simply this statement. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's his proposition. And it is obviously dealing with the eternal security of the saints in Jesus Christ. And dealing with that proposition, he gives four arguments in proof of it. From verse 2 to verse 4, he uses our justification to prove that there's no condemnation. In verse 5 to verse 13, he uses our sanctification to prove that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. In verses 14 through 17, he uses our adoption to prove that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then from verse 18 to the end of the chapter, he uses our glorification to prove that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that's the outline of the chapter. When I say it like that, it's dead easy and it's very, very quick. We have already reached the end. Well, not quite. Tonight I want to look, and I know some of you will gasp. I've already been told, you can't do it. It's terrible to be surrounded by unbelieving souls. If I've got to keep you here to midnight, I'm going to do it. I'll not keep you here to midnight either. But I want us to look at the first 17 verses, which covers three great arguments that prove there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The first argument is in verses 2, 3, and 4. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus because Christ has satisfied every claim of the law for us and has gained for us a full justification. That's the argument of verses 2 to 4. Christ has satisfied for us every claim of the law of God and has gained for us a full justification. Notice how he puts it. For, this is the first reason why there's no condemnation, for or because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For or because what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now there are some terms here that may be a little strange to you in their sound at first, so let me explain them. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ is another way of describing the gospel. Back in chapter 3, he has already spoken of the law of faith. He has later spoken of the law as a principle or as a power. It's not speaking here of the law of God, the Mosaic code. It's speaking of the gospel. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death, as we discovered in our earlier studies, is the Old Testament law, which exposes sin, stirs up our own wicked hearts to lust after sin, and then condemns sin and leads us to death. It is the law of sin and death. Now then, this is the glorious statement. The gospel has made us free from the law and from the sin and the death that come with the law. There is another law, a divine principle or power, whose author is the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives us life through the gospel, uniting us by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is what he says in chapter 1, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And being the power of God, it dynamically sets us free from the law of sin and death. Now, how is this accomplished? And here we have this wonderful statement in chapter 3, or verse 3, should I say, in verse 4. Now, I've already read it from the Authorized Version. So I'm going to give you a free translation of it with some interjected comments just to show you how Paul is arguing. So watch carefully in verses 3 and 4. Literally, he's saying, in view of the impotence of the law, God, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and having sent him for sin, that is, as a sacrifice for sin, condemned or punished our sin in the flesh, the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that the righteousness, the word means the claim, the right, or the sentence of the law should be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, that is, no longer controlled by sin rooted in our fallen nature, but according to the Spirit as that new power that animates our very being.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.